Wednesday, May 7, 2025. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope your week is off to a strong start, and that you, your family, your friends, everyone is staying strong and staying healthy right now. And you know, the NBA playoffs are now down to the final eight. We have had some chaos because the Western Conference is pretty tough. But then, you know, game one, we see the number one seed Celtics get knocked off. We see the number one seed Oklahoma City Thunder get knocked off. I don't think either one of those is going to hold, but it's interesting. And already gone are the number two seed Houston Rockets, the number three seed Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, it's been at least a little bit interesting. Kind of ugly basketball to watch, but it's been at least interesting. Meanwhile, the Stanley Cup playoffs are also down to their final eight, and we actually just have two teams from Canada remaining. Yeah. Sorry for all of you out there wearing denim right now. Just two teams left that are going to have to try to make it all the way to the Stanley Cup. And over the weekend, we did get some news that the sport of boxing might actually have a fight that could pull the sport back to the forefront of the sports world this fall. And I mean, it's been a while. When was the last fight you felt like you had to watch? But after a win on Saturday over William Skull, the stage is now set for the blockbuster mega fight between Canelo Alvarez and Terrence Crawford. Now, Crawford is 37. He will have to move up two weight classes to challenge Canelo. But if he actually beats Alvarez, he would become the first undisputed champion in three different weight classes. Meanwhile, Canelo, who's 34, is a two-time undisputed super middleweight champion. The Alvarez-Crawford card will be the first event promoted by Turki Alaşık and Dana White's TKO Boxing. Yes, we had heard the Saudis were getting involved. Here they are. The fight is now scheduled for Friday, not Saturday, Friday, September 12th, this fall. The card will take place on a Friday to avoid competition from college football and, of course, from UFC the following day. And get this, they say it's going to be held in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Kind of bizarre that the home of the Raiders is going to see a championship take place. Now, how will the sport of boxing screw this up? I mean, besides the fact that this fight is already happening like 10 years after we all wish it was happening. But there are just so many possibilities. We know that every time it gets a big stage, boxing rarely fails to shoot itself squarely in the foot. But hey, this could actually be a fight that grabs some serious attention. Speaking of the fight game, today on the Daily Dose, we are going to be joined by a very special guest. And I'm telling you, we have a ton of things to get to today. We need to jump in right now. Joining us this week on the Daily Dose, we have a very special guest. Today's guest is someone who knows what it takes to turn challenges into championships. Literally, Cam F. Awesome. Yes, you heard that right. Cam F. Awesome is a 12-time national boxing champion. He's a three-time Olympic trials champion. He's a former captain of the USA national boxing team. He was formerly known as Leroy Thompson. He's a boxer best known for winning the U.S. title in 2008, 10, 13, and 14, and the Golden Gloves in 2009, 2011, 2013 at super heavyweight. If you see Cam, he's not a giant guy. I want to know how he's fighting at super heavyweight. He has an absolutely insane fight record of 326-30. He's featured in the 2017 Netflix boxing documentary Counterpunch. If you haven't watched that, I would encourage you to. He's the author of the book Becoming Awesome: How to Make Success Inevitable. He's been on ESPN. He's doing some comedy. He does motivational speaking. Please welcome to the show the one, the only Cam F. Awesome. Cam, welcome to the Daily Dose. We are so glad to have you here with us.
Michael Buffer has nothing on you, man. What an introduction. I'm digging it already.
Cam, you deserve that introduction. You know, I was we were talking a little bit before we started recording. I was telling you, I watched that documentary, and Cam, I was rooting for you. I'm cheering for you. Holy cow. I was like, I can't wait to talk to this guy. Cam, take us back a little bit to your childhood. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Long Island, New York, in Uniondale.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. So you're in New York, big area, obviously, a lot of people there. What sports did you grow up playing back there?
Oh, none. I tried out for many of the teams. Some would say all of the teams. Well, I got cut off every team except for eighth grade JV football team. I got injured before cuts. So technically, okay. I never got cut from that team.
Were you a boxing fan? How did you end up getting into boxing? What happened? You're not playing other sports. You're not, you know, doing that kind of thing. How did your trail go down to the boxing path?
I was dealing with bullying, and okay. Bullying led to anxiety. And sure. I didn't know what anxiety was, but in hindsight, I was dealing with anxiety and I was afraid all the time. And I was struggling with weight issues, and I figured if I joined the boxing gym,
yeah,
I could defend myself against police. I can get in good shape, and I could be more confident. It was really to protect myself, and also it was cool, and I thought it would allow me to be accepted.
Yeah.
Because that's cool to a 16-year-old.
Well, and so many kids, whether or not they have the love of the sport, so many kids go into the athletic realm because they're like, hey, this will help me be accepted. I'll kind of find my social, you know, spot. And so a lot of times, even though maybe people aren't drawn to it naturally, they're like, hey, no, I kind of found what worked. And obviously this worked for you because, Cam, you took to it right away. You started to have some success pretty early, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm very analytical and I think I'm very logical, and we all think that. But with boxing, I joined the gym to lose weight. So they never taught me how to box. I just watched other people and did what I thought made sense. And it gave me the opportunity to ask the question, well, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
With everything that I did. And it allowed me to develop my own unique boxing style that was efficient for the scoring system.
No, you're right. Because if you watch, when I watch you box, you have a really unique style. And I want to talk about that because you reminded me a little bit of one fighter. And when I say it, people are going to think I'm crazy, but I'm going to get back to that. Cam, did you have a coach early on that made like an impact on you that got you, you know, kind of enthralled and kind of fall in love with the gym like that?
Yeah. His name was Ralph Morgolo. He was a former Marine with a very dirty mouth, and he was an Italian from New Jersey. And he was coaching me down in Florida when I was 17 years old. And he was as delusional about me as I was. I'd never made a team before. Yeah. So when I won my first boxing match, technically I was undefeated as a human being.
Sure.
So I thought, I was like, oh, I'm the greatest boxer ever. I must be special. And I carried myself that way. So, and it's not in the documentary, but in high school, my boxing gym was 6 miles away. So I had a 6 mile walk every day after school.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't have music. So I would just make up stories in my head. And this is not me saying I knew what it was going to be. And I just happened to make myself a winner in all of these stories. I was kicking butt in all these stories. I was knocking everyone out. I had all the money, all the cars, all the jewelry. I was the greatest. And after winning my first fight, I believed all that. And I would just tell myself that for 3 hours a day before going to the gym. And there was a direct correlation between how highly I spoke about myself and how well I did in the gym. And it allowed me to become this more confident person. And I think that confidence is what allowed me to succeed in the ring, because I just thought I should win.
Well, it clearly worked because you began winning right away. Cam, you hadn't been boxing very long. You got invited to the boxing national championships in 2008. What do you remember from getting that invite and then going and winning your first national title? But what do you remember from that very first one?
So before I went there, I went to, the reason why I got invited to that is I qualified for the 2008 Olympic trials.
Okay.
I was boxing for less than 2 years. I lost the first day, but it was cool that I made it.
Yeah.
Everyone who lost either quit boxing or turned professional.
Okay.
And the light bulb went off in my head. If everyone who lost quit or turned pro and I don't, aren't I automatically the best?
I love your way of thinking, man.
the Olympic cycle changed. All those guys turned pro and the new crop of boxers came around. And they're new to boxing, just as new as I am. But to them, I'm the guy from the last Olympic cycle.
Now you're the veteran.
I'm the veteran. Yeah. And they looked at me when I went to that Nationals in 2008. They looked at me like I was the guy to beat. So I just pretended I was.
That is absolutely incredible. Dude, the way your mind just operates.
That's the power of the mind.
That's the power of the mind. No, you're right. You know, when they talk about, you know, getting these placebo effects and that kind of thing, not only do these things work, sometimes they'll say, hey, we put someone into surgery. We told them they were going to bleed less. Guess what? They bled less. That is the power of the mind. And you are absolutely an example of that. You qualified for the Olympic team also in 2012. Yeah. But then, Cam, you were suspended from Olympic competition when you failed to make yourself available for Olympic drug testing. Not that you were doing anything illicit. In fact, you tested clean later that week. You were just not there for them to test when they wanted to test you. That cost you. What did you learn from that whole experience, though?
I learned that life doesn't care about your feelings.
Yeah,
like right. I made a small error. I forgot to send an email that I was leaving the country. And I had to deal with that consequence. And I lost all the confidence I had because I put all my value and worth in sports. Like, I never had friends, but then when I started boxing, I had all these friends all over the world. And you have to love me. You have to accept me. Look at my national championships. I am the best boxer in the country. But then I got suspended and I couldn't say any of that anymore. And I was like, well, then who am I?
Yeah.
And I realized that I looked at boxing as like a wife or a girlfriend. And I spent so much years going after her and giving her everything I had. And then last minute, she just took another boxer on a date instead of me.
Yeah.
Like another boxer went to the Olympics, a guy I fought six times and beat six times. And it ruined me. And I took a look at my life and I had to be honest with myself. And I had no skills. I had no certifications. I had no degrees. I had to box again. Like there's no other option. I mean, I could have turned pro because I was the reigning number one heavyweight in the country for 4 years. I could have done pretty good in the pros and made some immediate money.
Yeah.
But I didn't see longevity in sports.
Sure.
Especially boxing. Someone's willing to fight twice as hard for half the money just for the opportunity. And I figured if I turn pro in boxing, I might make a bunch of money right off the bat, but what am I going to do later on in life?
Yeah.
So I decided to go back to the amateurs, do the Olympic run again, but this time rebrand myself and be more than just an athlete. Because when I identified as an athlete, sports was taken from me. I lost my identity. Now I'm going to identify as an entertainer and I'm going to wear the capes. I'm going to dance in the ring. I'm going to flip in the ring and build a career for myself outside of sports. It wasn't shown in the Netflix documentary Counterpunch, but when I would travel for fights, like if I went to go fight in Denver, I would reach out to schools in Denver and I would speak all week leading up to the fight. And my coaches, it drove them crazy. They're like, why are you focusing your energy other places? You have a fight coming up. This is championship. This is nationals. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, no, I am past boxing.
Right.
I'm using boxing just as an avenue to get what I want in life because athlete privilege exists. Like, I get opportunities I wouldn't have gotten otherwise. I speak on stages I shouldn't be speaking on. I meet people. I date outside of my looks because I'm really good at a sport. But the problem that relevancy dissipates faster than the sweat on your jersey from your last practice. Like, after your sport, you're no one unless you use your time as an athlete to build like a runway for yourself.
Well, and was this at that time, because I know it was in 2013, you changed your name. Was this all a part of that whole thing? Was that the significance of changing your name?
Oh, well, yeah, that. And also in the comments, a lot, because I was cocky before I got suspended. One of the major comments was, I bet he's humble now.
Okay.
And it didn't sit right with me.
It shouldn't.
I looked up the definition of humble. It's having a low estimate of your own importance. And I realized the greatest things I've accomplished is when I spoke it into existence and I thought I deserved it.
Right.
And changing my last name to Awesome was a, for one, I had to rebrand myself for boxing and try to be bigger than the sport. And when the news shows up to interview the boxers, they know nothing about boxing, but they see someone with the last name Awesome, they're going to interview him.
Oh yeah. 100%.
I got all of the interviews. I got the documentaries. It worked. Also, I threw away the concept of being humble. I needed to believe in myself wholeheartedly, unapologetically. And I understood that was going to rub some people the wrong way. So I changed my middle name to just the letter F. So if you don't like that, I know I don't like you.
Sure.
Saves me a lot of time.
You also decided to make a lifestyle change. You slimmed down. You fought at the heavyweight class instead of the super heavyweight class. You went vegan. Cam, how did you manage going vegan and boxing? How are you doing this?
I lost a bet. I'm a man of my word.
You did not. Is that really true?
I swear I lost a bet. It was a Manny Pacquiao versus Timothy Bradley, June 12th, 2012.
Oh, Cam, you got robbed.
Right?
Yes.
I didn't even watch the fight. I was playing Monopoly with a couple of people, and I got a text saying, guess who won? So I had to be vegan for 28 days.
And you just liked it?
I felt so good after the 28 days.
Okay.
That I said, I'm not going to be vegan, but I'm just going to do this until I find a reason not to. And I don't judge anyone for how they live or how they eat. You do what you do. I'll do what I do. And it's been 13 years. I haven't found a reason to stop. And I think that's how we should live life. I mean, try something. And I would have, if I didn't lose the bet, I would have never tried it.
Sure.
And it changed. For one, it changed the way my relationship with food. And even as a kid, I struggled with eating and I struggled with my eating habits. And even when I was boxing, my weight always fluctuates and I didn't have the greatest relationship with food. And this kind of helped put some reins on that.
Cam, you have a really unorthodox style. When I watch you fight, and this is despite being a super heavyweight, I'm going to make a comparison and you can call me crazy, but when I watch you fight to get points. It reminds me of a giant guy fighting like Pernell Whitaker, because I will see you use that reach, use that length. You'll squat clear down if you need to. You will get to where you can to earn points and avoid giving them any points. Was there a fighter that you emulated?
For one, that is a great compliment, Sweet Pea. I love his style.
One of the best.
It was partly him. And if you ever heard of Emmanuel Augustus?
I don't know that I have.
You probably wouldn't. He's never won any world titles or anything like that. His record's probably upside down. He calls himself the Drunken Warrior. But he's so slick and he's dancing and laughing the entire time he's fighting. And to me, for you to be able to have that much fun,
right?
You win automatically.
Of course.
If you get a chance, look him up. Emmanuel Laburton, he changed his name as well. So,
okay. Well, and that's interesting because a lot of people talk about sports They'll compare it to war. I remember when I was coaching basketball, we'd have, you know, you'd have some coach come into a clinic or whatever. He'd be like, oh, read the Art of War. And I'm like, man, basketball's not war. I will say this. Boxing isn't war, but it's getting real close to war. It is hand-to-hand combat. You're getting real. If you can go in and have fun in the ring and you look like you have fun in the ring, you're ahead of most everyone else because you're getting as close to battle as you actually can be. That's actually very impressive. I also want to ask you this. You didn't sit between rounds. Was this a practical thing? Did you want to stay, or was it just a strategy? This is intimidation and I don't need to sit rounds.
One, I don't need to sit down in between rounds. Yeah. You don't sit down in between rounds and sparring when you train for your fight.
Fair.
Why ever would you sit down in between rounds during a fight? The second reason why I don't sit down in between rounds is I need to look down at you because at some point you're going to have to get up. And I want to look at you while you are getting up. And I need you to know I'm better than you. Whether that's true or not, I just need you to believe that.
Oh,
and
I love
in
that.
Those moments, you just get a little bit of into their armor and you could just tear a person down psychologically.
It's so funny to me when I was watching you fight and you genuinely, you just spoke about it, but I'm watching you and I'm going, he is having fun in the ring. The other guy might not be having fun. He's having fun and outpointing him and for the most part winning the fight. But it didn't matter. You look like you're in the ring. I'm having a good time. I'm here to beat you. I'm better than you. You always know that guy when you walk in the gym. And as a basketball coach, I know the guy that walks in the gym, oh, I can tell right here who really believes they are the best in the gym. You had that belief when you walked into the gym. Hey, I'm the baddest man here.
Yeah. And it rubs some people the wrong way.
Of course.
But I think that's how we should enter not just the ring, but every phase of our lives. It's you are the best version you will ever be at this given moment. You're literally the greatest you've ever been. Why would you walk into a situation like you're not? And with this placebo effect working the way it is, I mean, your brain looks first to create stories and it looks to confirm stories you already created with yourself. Your reticular activating system, it's basically a filter in your brain that filters out information to show you what you're looking for. What you seek is what you find. If you say, my name is Clint and I'm not capable, your brain would sort through the billions of bits of information, ignore all the reasons why you are capable, and confirm the few reasons why you aren't. I started to carry myself in a very specific way, and it was to help me believe in myself. I realized we put so much pressure on ourselves when we allow the situation to be bigger than us. I'm fighting in the national championships. Oh, I have to wear different shoes or I have to wear a different outfit or maybe I'll do something different before the fight. Or maybe I'll sit down in between rounds since it's different than sparring because this is so different. I look at the finals of a national championship the same way I look at a workout on a Tuesday. If I go out to a comedy club the night before sparring, I go out to the comedy club a night before a fight. I treated nothing different, and it would rub some coaches the wrong way, but it was how I worked mentally. And John Brown, my coach, he was the best coach ever because kind of just let me do what I want.
Seemed like he understood you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a very, very special relationship. When you do have that one coach that gets you, understands how you operate and knows how to still get the best of you while allowing you to be you. That's when you're getting into some really, really good stuff. Cam, you came up short in your bid for the 2016 Olympics, and that was just barely coming up short, but you were on track to go to the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, and then COVID hit, wiped the whole thing out. What do you remember about getting ready for those 2020 games?
So I decided because I was living in my van at the time. I was trying to build my speaking business. And I figured it would cut out a lot of expenses if I lived in my van. And if I didn't live in my van, I would have to get a job. And if I were to get a job, the consistency of a paycheck and health insurance would make it harder for me to go back out and chase my dream.
No, you're right.
So I lived in my van for some years, and I went to sign up for Team USA, and they wanted me to stay in Colorado Springs at the Olympic Training Center. But I had a schedule booked out of high schools and middle schools I was going to go speak at. And I was like, I can't do that. So my dad's from Trinidad and Tobago. I fought for Trinidad's Olympic team. And so I w went to Trinidad. I trained with their team. I won the Olympic trials in Trinidad. And they didn't send a team because of the pandemic. But I do remember March 13th, because I was headed to Trinidad on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And March 13th, they canceled the NBA 2020. So I don't watch the news ever. I never really have. I don't know. I never know what's going on in the world. Guess what? I'm alive. But this COVID thing, I found out about it when they canceled the NBA because someone mentioned they canceled the NBA. I was like, hey, well, why? And they like mentioned it. And I was like, no, what you're talking about? And what a surprise. I don't know if you heard about it, but COVID.
Kind of was big there for a minute.
Yeah, it was it made its rounds.
It did.
If I were to be in Trinidad when they canceled the flights, I would have been stuck over there for about 10 months.
Oh, wow.
It was 4 days short. That's when I cut everything short, 4 days before I was going to go to Trinidad.
Wow. That's getting
But
close.
with that goes my dream.
Hey, just a quick reminder, make sure that you are stopping by dailydosesports.com every week, as we do have new articles going up over there. We do have links to the podcast. We do have links to the videos over there. You can, of course, find information on the host as well. And you can also find links to get Daily Dose gear. Maybe you need a t-shirt, sweatshirt, hoodie, even a hat in your life. Make sure you're stopping by dailydosesports.com each and every week. Now, let's get back to our interview with boxer Cam Awesome. Cam, you were out of boxing for a little over a year and you started noticing something going on with your vision. What happened there?
I woke up one morning, so I journal every morning. It's what I do. I'm a big fan of journaling, never used to be, but I went to grab my journal and I couldn't see out of my right eye. And it was like, oh, I could see it's just like nothing above here, like up there. And went got emergency surgery. I had a detached retina, and it just happened in my sleep. I was told it can just happen.
Wow. Well, that's horrifying. Was it boxing related or do they?
No, I hadn't been in the ring for almost a year and a half at that point.
Yeah.
It might have
Yeah.
been from a from past, but they said it happens. It can happen to anyone.
Cam, you've had setbacks. You've had some things that people might even deem to be unfair. The thing I noticed that sets you apart, you don't make excuses, you don't complain, you just keep pushing forward every single time. Where did that drive come from? Where did you find that? Because it seemed like you were kind of that way even as a kid, going and starting to, box. Where did that drive come from?
I think one of my greatest, I think there's some pros and cons to the way I think. And I shared even before, even the emotional side, I remove emotion from things and I'm very logical, which doesn't work great in relationships or friendships because sometimes you have to see things in other lights. And I'm working on that as a person. But one of the things that I realized that, like, from an early age, I believed in magic. So, I've only said this outside a couple said this out loud a couple of times, so it might not come out very smooth. But when I was like 8 years old, my mom went into the store and she left me in the car. Like she went into like a store real quick to grab something, and there was a bird sitting on a fence. And I was like, if I have magical powers, the bird will poop right now. And when I said that, Clint, I sh you not.
Nailed it.
So I got home that day, and I just remember for the next like few weeks thinking like, because the first 15% of any superhero movie is that superhero learning how to use their powers.
Of course.
So what I started to do is I implemented something I called like I had one wish a day.
Okay.
And it I and so I would say that I had one wish a day, and it could be a big wish, it couldn't be something that would alter the course of the universe, but I can make small wishes in my life and I can get whatever I want. like, if I didn't study for a test, I'm not going to wish for 100. I'm just going to wish and get a 73.
Can I pass? Yeah.
I would get a 73. It used to work for all. I wish there's a little bit of cereal left at home, and I go home, there would be cereal. And I don't really remember it not working. And I thought I had a superpower.
Maybe you do.
It turned out I did.
Yeah. Because
anything I wanted, if I thought about it enough, and if as long as it wasn't too big and I was willing to do what I needed for it, I got whatever I wanted. Like, this, how crazy is this? I said I wanted a brother. Clint, okay. I have two sisters. Okay?
Yeah.
I had two sisters. My mom's not having any more kids.
Okay.
I was 12 years old. This is about 2 years after I was wishing to have a brother. About 2 years later, 12 years old, my dad went to pick us up on the weekends like he usually does. And I found out I had a half brother that's 4 years older than me that was moving in.
That's unreal.
So your reticular activating system shows you things to confirm stories you already believe.
Yeah.
I genuinely can't tell you the times it didn't work. And that just instilled to me, I had more of a power. I would talk to myself that I was the best in the gym, and I would go to the gym. I would be the best. In 2 years, I won. And I realized it was all the way I was talking to myself. And then in 2012, I got suspended. And all that positive talk and all that magic went away. And I lost it. And I couldn't get myself back in shape. I couldn't get myself working out. I was drinking a lot. And it was changing my last name to Awesome and talking to myself again, saying things I want. I'm going to be the best speaker ever. And I do think, at least like youth speak, I think I'm the greatest youth speaker in the world that speaks English. Because I haven't seen anyone else who hasn't spoken English. I don't understand them. And I have that thought about myself. And if I ever do find someone who's better than me, I ask to meet for coffee or a Zoom.
Absolutely.
How are you so much better than me? What did you do? How can I do it? And then I will do all those things. But it's like, that's a part of the magic of you can literally have anything you want. You just have to like wish for it. Also, I need to be more specific with my wishes.
I totally get that. And I think when you look at someone, not just even going through life or trying to have a success, overcoming adversity, that intrinsic method in you saying, hey, I'm better than these things. I'm going to beat these things. No, there's literally something to that.
Yeah. How do you talk to yourself? Like, no one thinks about you more than you think about yourself. I mean, you love your kids. You think about you more than you think about your kids.
Of course.
And even when you think about your kids, whose kids are they? You don't think about my kids, Clint. You've never thought about my kids.
Right.
I don't have any.
Okay. That's why I think about them less.
You should. You should. We don't want to think anything into existence.
Otherwise.
Let's not.
Let's not go down that path.
But the idea is no one thinks about you more than you think about yourself.
That's fair.
How much time do you spend creating the story you tell yourself?
Yeah.
Just whatever story you tell yourself is true. You could have walked past your wife and she didn't see you and you think, oh, she's mad at me. She didn't look at me. She's not even acknowledging me. And then you told yourself the story and then you realize she doesn't have her contacts in.
No, you're 100% right.
What are the stories we constantly tell ourselves?
Yep. Wow. That is such an interesting way of looking at life. I absolutely love it. I've got to ask you because I don't want to be selfish. I look at you and I say, here's a guy going out and helping hundreds of kids. Is that why you didn't go into specifically coaching? Because you wouldn't reach as many? Because I look at you and go, you would have been a phenomenal coach.
I might disagree with you on the idea that I'd be a phenomenal coach. Maybe at one point of my life in the future. But I don't think you can be a great coach when you still think you have it.
I get that. I understand that.
My ego's still there too much.
I totally understand that. And yet, you have knowledge and drive that so many people would need. I feel like you would be a really good motivator. I feel like you'd be the same thing. You would speak a athlete into existence in that way. I think you would have that. And at the same time, you're going out, you're doing motivational speaking. You're speaking to kids that desperately need it. Maybe they're not athletes. Maybe they would never see the inside of a gym, but for whatever reason, you're reaching them and you're reaching their lives. So what you're doing, probably way more important. I just always look for good coaches because that's what I did. So I,
oh, well, while I have your listener's ear, yes. USAboxing.org. You can go there. You can find a gym. We're always looking for coaches. We're looking for judges. We're looking for referees. There are gyms and fights all around the entire country. They're in your neighborhood, I'm sure. And Clint, you are in the heart of the Olympics right there in Colorado Springs, yeah. right down the block yeah. from you. Sure. And there's tons of gyms in Denver. So if you want to get involved in boxing, or maybe you used to be involved in boxing, or maybe your kids graduated and you have some free time on your hands, you're looking to get into coaching, boxing gyms are the greatest place to be a coach. No experience is the best experience, because you can learn boxing alongside. And you start off, maybe you give kids water and you learn to bring their elbows in when they're throwing punches.
Sure.
But it's the mentorship that these students and these children need. I don't care about the sport. I don't care if the kid ever becomes great at fighting.
Doesn't matter.
If you do difficult things,
yes,
everything else seems easier.
Yeah. And athletics I know it's cliche. They're teaching life lessons. They're teaching you, how do I deal with things? How do I deal with people I don't like? How do I deal with situations? How do I deal with losing? How do I deal with, sometimes, like you said, life is unfair. We don't get taught these things enough. And our kids especially don't get these things taught enough.
No. Yeah. Losing. No one. Oh. You don't get to lose in real life.
Right.
Like in sports, you objectively lose. And you get to watch the winner be happy.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you have to listen to their national anthem.
I can see that. And that would be absolutely painful. But you know, it's funny because I always look at, you know, somebody, you watch U Sports, you go, and hey, we want to go out and win. And I'm going, you know, the other team wants to win too. Everybody wants to win. Nobody likes to go home a loser. That's what you're learning. You're learning how to do these things. You're learning how to get better. You're learning sometimes how to deal with the loss when you absolutely thought you were better than the other side. Doesn't always work that way. We're teaching life lessons. It is so good. I'm glad you brought up, you know, the going out and getting involved, because how many people do you know of that you sit there and you go, hey, you know what? I don't have a lot of motivation. I don't go out and get involved. Go out and find a kid to mentor. Go out and do something. You'll same thing. You'll find yourself talking poorly about yourself a lot less, right?
Exactly. And you'll be giving some good to the world. Another thing you can do, big brother, big sister.
Yeah.
You can get matched with a little. And they have event, you don't know what to do, they'll give you tickets to the local baseball game. Look, take your little and you'll have all these opportunities. And another thing is, you meet other people who have littles, who are usually professionals and they have free time on their hands. And it's, fellas, there are way more young boys waiting for bigs than big brothers and big sisters. Yep. I mean, it's just, you can meet so many people. You want a date? Like, go out, do things, be active, and be around the people who are doing the things that you want to do. I mean, I see so many people find the frustration of they don't know what to do with their lives, or they don't know what to do with their time. And man, it's so easy to just grab your phone and chill on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
I check my inbox for my laptop, but I don't have social media on my phone for that reason. Yeah. Some people can do it. I'm just addicted. So
I can't do it. I have to, same thing. I had to cut it off. I'm like, no. And how many times a day, you know, you get on social media, whatever, and those things are feeding you things just to make you angry. I'm like sitting there in the middle of the night and I'm like reading, you know, Facebook, and I'm like, why am I angry? I don't have anything to be mad about. What about
yeah. manipulating also, me? Why do I need to know what people in my hometown are eating?
No. And I certainly don't need to know what people around the world are doing. I don't need, we were not meant to have all this information.
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
That's where a lot of the anxiety is coming from. You are not yep. supposed to know when your favorite celebrity died until nope. 12 years later.
That's right.
Like, hey, right. why didn't that person make a movie lately? Oh, because they've been dead for 7 years.
See?
Oh, I didn't see the newspaper that day.
Are you a fight fan still? Are you, do you still watch boxing? Are you still involved?
Oh, bro, I never even watched it when I was fighting.
You didn't?
No, it was never my thing.
My friends
are fighting, I go, like, I went to Tony Mack. I'm actually at his house right now.
Okay.
Tony Mack, was a boxer in Team USA with me back in the day. I come up to Dallas and I hang out with him, and he had some boxing matches. TCL, it's Team Combat League. It's a boxing. It's a cool concept. It's like 10 different weight classes, and each boxer fights, but it's only one round.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very, every round is like super intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I had not heard of that.
And it's a new league. They're on the third season. And Tony Mack, my friend, he's a coach for the Dallas Enforcers. So I came up to watch and support. But unless it's someone I know personally, I don't know who the champions. I know the big names because you got to know. But I'm a fair weather fan, if you can even call me that.
No, I totally get that. And boxing has some things they got to fix. They got some issues sometimes. And I think sometimes it wears on the fans. You know, we grew up in, and I'll say we, because I'm far older than you, but I grew up in the golden era of boxing, and it just isn't the same. There were so many good fighters. You knew them, you got to see them, you got to follow them. You followed their career from the time they were young. Boxing hasn't helped itself in a lot of ways. I would prefer to watch the amateur stuff. That you know the Golden Gloves, the Olympic trials, that to me now is way better than watching the professional fights.
Yeah. And from the fighter sense of it, I don't think people understand how hard it is to make money in boxing.
Yeah.
And how much money a lot of money is.
You chose to stay amateur and not go pro. Why? Why did you not ever make that jump?
Because I could have turned pro and made pretty good money, yeah. But that money would have stopped at about 35.
No, that's fair.
At 23, I had the foresight to know I'm going to take a different path. I'm going to bet on myself.
Yeah.
And as I, like, in 2013, when I came back, as I was traveling around the country on the USA team again, I would be speaking at schools, emceeing vegan festivals, and doing stand-up comedy as I travel around the country. Like, I was doing more of that than I was boxing, and everyone thought it was weird, but my thing was I wanted to build myself up more than just an athlete. So now that, and I know I looked crazy. Okay. Cause even 2016 didn't go to the Olympics. I could have just turned pro then, but I decided to live in my van because I didn't have any money. I could have just turned pro, but I just saw an opportunity to bet on myself. And I was like, if I could just toughen this out for maybe 1 or 2 years, end up being 3 years, that's how life happens. I will be able to build a foundation, get good at speaking, get a clear message, have a website built, maybe afford to get a speaking reel. Cause I had zero budget and I was just doing everything as I was going. And now I look less crazy about my decision than I did 10 years ago.
You've done pretty well for yourself. Yeah, you did. Cam, how can listeners keep up with what you have going on? Where's the best place to find you? Where can they find your book? Where can they follow you? What's the best place to catch up with Cam?
You can find me at camfawesome.com or at camfawesome on all social media platforms, because I'm not famous enough for anyone to try to take my name.
I don't know. If people go watch this documentary, they might want to take your name, because I'm telling you, I went and watched this documentary and I came away going, I got to meet this guy. I got to talk to this guy. He was absolutely fascinating. If you haven't seen it, go watch Counterpunch on Netflix. You will be impressed the same way I was, because Cam, I don't know. I know it's going to sound corny, but Cam, you're pretty awesome. I really enjoyed getting to spend some time with you today. I cannot thank you enough for joining us on the Daily Dose. I would love to have you back sometime. I love getting your thoughts. I love hearing a unique way of going through life and a unique way of going about, again, sometimes dealing with good and dealing with bad. I just kind of like the way you operate.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And thank you for the kind words about the documentary and even our conversation before this. I appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Like I said, would love to have you back anytime. Really, really enjoyed our conversation.
You say when, I'm here.
Hey, next week on The Dose, I am working on another interview that I'm telling you, I'm very excited about, but it will give you some more information on another sport that is in season right now. One that maybe doesn't get talked about a lot, but trust me, it's going to be a little different and you will not want to miss it. So be sure you tune into The Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to Cam F. Awesome for spending some time with us today. I really enjoyed our conversation. Hope you will stay in touch. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.